I'd like to call the meeting of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs to order. Today is Tuesday, February 27th, 2018. Is that accurate, everybody? It is February 27th?
Close enough.
My notes say here, you'd appreciate this, Senator Olson. My note says it's Tuesday, February 207th, and you'd get some humor in that, 207. Anyway, he's a pilot. For the record, it is 3:38 p.m., February 27th. We're in the Belts Committee Room, and we have a full quorum to do business. Senator Hoffman, Senator Gardner, Senator Stebbins, Senator McKinnon, and myself, Senator Bishop, and Crackleberg on Senate Records. Welcome in Ben Manley, Teleconference Network, John Manley, cell phones. Please turn them off. I think somebody owes us donuts from Finance this morning, Madam Chair.
I know who sells.
Okay, good.
Senator Bishop, I know whose cell phone went off this
morning. Okay, good. On our agenda today, we have SB 203, Senate Bill 203, authorizing ADA bonds to finance infrastructure and construction costs for the Graphite Creek project. Here to introduce Senate Bill 203, we have Senator Olson and his staff, Jim Puckett. So please, gentlemen, come forward and put yourselves on the record, and floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Senator Donald Olson. I'm from Golovin, and with me I have my Assistant Chief of Staff, Jim Puckett, to present Senate Bill 203. Senate Bill 203 was a bill that I was requested to put into the Senate, having to do with the graphite deposit that's north and west of Nome, south and east of Teller. We were asked to put this bill in, not so much to allow for mining to happen there, and certainly not so much to go ahead and make sure we're on that side, but more that there would be money put forth from ADA with the authorization to make sure that a corporation like Graphite One could accept these funds to go ahead and start the initial stage of looking to see whether it was indeed possible, economically and otherwise, to pull this deposit of graphite out of the ground. I will remind people here on the committee, as well as those that are listening, that graphite is one of those very rare minerals that the United States imports 100% of their graphite for various things that are used industrially. And because of that, we are 100% dependent on places like China to go ahead and provide us for that very valuable building material. And so that's why this area looks like it might be a place that's worth investing in, and depending on what happens during the steps of permitting and those kind of things, whether there's a lot of local interest for it or against it will be determined. But this just allows that ADA, the Alaska Industrial Development and Economic Association, authority to go ahead and provide funds for Graphite One. With that, if there's no further questions for this initial start off of the bill, I'll have my Assistant Chief of Staff, Jim Puckett, present the rest of the bill.
Any questions of Senator Olson before we move to Mr. Puckett? Senator Gardner.
Thank you. I was struck by the introductory section of your written overview, and it talks about the company proposing to develop the Graphite One project would be a vertically integrated enterprise to mine the graphite, process it into concentrate, and manufacture high-grade spherical graphite for vehicle batteries and storage. Would any of that value-added work be done in Alaska, or would the raw material be exported and the value added elsewhere?
Mr. Chairman, through the chair, Senator Gardner, you bring up a very good point in that one of the reasons that the Native Corporation and a number of other people in that local area are interested in is because of jobs that are going to be added, not just for the mining, but also for the processing of graphite. And that may be a question that's better answered by the Graphite One people, and we have a person here that represents them, and that's Joy Huntington. However, the idea that it's going to be, if it does indeed come to fruition, the idea that the value-added process would be happening in the state of Alaska, and it may even be in the local area, if not in other, I think they talked about Valdez as well being another port that it could be brought to. So if that answers your question, the answer is yes, that value-added would be in Alaska.
Thank you. And, Mr. Chair, I do have another question.
Follow-up.
Thank you. So it's actually a different question, but you testified that the United States currently is importing 100% of the graphite that we use. That's really phenomenal. Would this mine be able to replace all of the imported graphite or just a portion of it?
I don't have the answer to that, and I don't think that anybody really has the answer to that, because a lot of the graphite that's being used is used by the military, and the military is a little, I wouldn't say secretive, but they tend to hold what they use and how they use and how much they use fairly close to their chest, and that's really not public information. But it certainly would, since it's high-grade graphite, it certainly would be able to go ahead and allow that part, that segment of the industry that uses it to have a fairly good supply.
Thank you.
Senator Gardner, is that, you said you had a document from Graphite One?
No. I'm sorry, I mean, if I misspoke, it's the overview. It has Graphite One on the cover.
Oh, okay.
It's just the printout of basically of what Senator Olson has said, a little bit of.
Okay.
But it is on Graphite One letterhead.
Okay. Does we take a brief at ease? Back on the record. Senator Olson? Any comments?
Let's back off the record again, please, Mr. Chairman.
Addy. Okay, we're back on the record. Senator Olson, are we ready for...
There's no further question, Mr. Chairman. I'll have Jim Puckett, my assistant chief of staff, go ahead and go through the bill for you.
Thank you. Mr. Puckett.
Hey, for the record, my name is Jim Puckett, staff for Senator Donnie Olson, and we're examining Senate Bill 203, Version A, and this bill is simply authorizing the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority to issue the bonds, and it would be financed under AS 4488.172. The principal amount that they would issue is limited to $80 million. It cannot go over that amount, and that includes the cost that it would be to issue the bonds, and it requires the legislative approval as found in AS 44.88.095G. We would like to put on the record and emphasize that this is not an approval for the project, but it's simply giving ADA the option to invest or not to invest in the Graphite Creek project, and also that it is limited to just $80 million. The total project is estimated to be somewhere in the neighborhood of north of $360 million. Why is graphite so important, and why now? The USGS has identified this as one that graphite is a mineral is critical to the national economy and national security of the United States. It is of utmost importance as an anode material in lithium batteries. And I think probably almost all of us in this room have lithium batteries doing tools work or all type of things. And that market is expanding rapidly as they become better at making lithium batteries. Currently, the United States is totally reliant on foreign sources for graphite. China is the biggest one, but there are some graphite that comes in from Brazil, Madagascar, and a couple other foreign sources. The very large flake graphite deposits in the Kigluok Mountains on the Seward Peninsula right now are the largest known graphite resource in the United States. The proposed processing plant at the Graphite Creek facility would annually produce 60,000 metric tons of graphite concentrate. It's notable that in the 2016, the United States needed a total of 39,500 metric tons of natural graphite. You should also know that Tesla has built a new lithium battery gigafactory in Nevada, and once it is at full production, it alone will require 93,000 tons per year of flake graphite. That factory is already producing more batteries than any other factory in the world, and it is not at full production yet. That's expected to happen during 2019. A 2017 study showed that the Graphite Creek project has the potential to produce a significant portion of the projected domestic demand for graphite of the United States. It will not satisfy it completely, but it expected to handle the significant part of that for 40 years. And that's all I have for the committee, if there's anybody that has any questions from what I've shared.
Committee members, any questions for Mr. Puckett? We do have 12 people. Senator Olson, you got a popular bill here. They got about 12 people want to testify. Any questions from committee members? I'd just like to put on the record that, Jim, just for what you just said, you know, where, you know, the Tesla plant's looking at 93,000. Is it metric tons that they're looking for?
That is
93,000 tons per year, not metric tons, but tons. That's just one. And by 2025, Toyota Motor Company wants to be all electric or a hybrid. Ford, General Motors, you know, so there's a little bit of a revolution not to be left out on the electric vehicle automobile industry. So anyway, with that, I think we're going to launch into public testimony right now, if it's okay at the will of the committee, if there's no questions. And we'll start with Rose Foss, Dick in Cork and Nome. Rose?
Hello, this is Rose Fosdick. Thank you for this opportunity to make some comments in regards to the bill.
And Rose, Rose, if you could, we've got like 12 people that want to testify, and we are jammed up for time. If you could keep your about 2 minutes, please, then that would be awesome.
Yes, no problem. I work at Quark Incorporated in the Natural Resources Division. Of course, we work with the tribal communities in the region, and we have learned a little bit about the plans for the Graphite One effort in Emmerich Basin. We're also very interested and concerned about what the local people of Telebrevik and Mary's Igloo might have concerns about and whether they have questions. And so we are very curious as an organization to some of the processes that will be used, some of the chemicals that are being considered for use in separating out graphite, including fluoxetrol and gasoline, and with the water. So we have some questions. We're looking forward to the Subsistence Resources Committee that was proposed to be formed, composed of people of Telebrevik and Mary Figlu. When you have the information available about who is on the committee and what their purpose is and their schedule of meetings, we would like to be aware of that. So once again, as an organization, we're very much in tune with the people's needs for resources, subsistence resources. We know the Immerok Basin has three of the ice seals and has a lot of fish that are treasured by locals and the marine mammals. We also know the area around Kitulak Mountains is well used as a reindeer herding area, reindeer range. So with those comments, I wanted to make sure to express that we're very interested in following up and also want to make sure the local people are well aware of what's happening and they're involved and able to make comments, and that sometime in the future, as jobs become more available, perhaps that people of the local communities will be considered and hired. Thank you.
Thank you, Rose, for those comments. We're just, because everybody's in Nome that wants to testify, we do have the mayor of Nome who's in Washington, D.C. Let's go down the list here a couple more right in Nome, then we'll go catch the mayor because it's later there in Washington. So, Brandon Amalsuk, Kowarik Subsistence, it says here in Nome. You're 2 minutes, sir, please.
Yeah, hi, this is Brandon Amalsuk. I am the Subsistence Resources Program Director here in Nome for Kowarik. So this has been, a point of contention for the communities that are going to be immediately impacted by this. As you heard Rose say, you know, these communities are heavily reliant upon subsistence crop resources. Salmon, non-salmon, moose, caribou, the berries, whatnot, off the land. If there was any kind of negative impacts from this mine, these communities, they're going to be the first ones to know. The Anchorage area, Lower 48, you know, there's this big talk of, oh, this is so important, this is such a viable resource. But these communities, if their resources are impacted, who's going to put up the bill to, you know, put food on the table? These communities have, you know, 80, 90% unemployment rate. Yes, they'll create jobs, but at what cost? The couple of things I wanted to mention, you know, just right off the top, the Immerok Basin is fed by Pilgrim River, one of the rivers, and that is North America's farthest north red salmon run in entire North America. And Immerok Basin, as you heard Rose mention, it holds three of the ice seals, two of which are on the ESA list as threatened. Bearded seals and ring seals. These two particular seals, they're known to inhabit the Immerok Basin spring, summer, and fall. They're there because of the salmon. If any one of these resources were to fall, it's going to trickle on down the food chain, but then ultimately to the communities that are going to be, you know, just basically more or less downriver from this mine. It'll cause them to pull other resources, which they can't, maybe they won't be able to get. Subsistence resources, the communities should be at the table helping make decisions for this mine. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. I got a question for you, Brandon, if you're still there.
Yep.
Because of the two seals that were listed on the ESA, are they still available for subsistence hunt?
Yes, they are.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Sue Steinecker in Nome. Sue, are you there?
Yep. This is Sue Steinecker in Nome, and forgive me, I'm learning all about this very, very last minute, and it takes me a little bit more time to prepare more concise comments, so I may go over 2 minutes, but I do want to share with you these thoughts that I've put together, some which have been addressed. That my first question is, what degree of support for this project by all the residents of Teller and Brevik, and not just certain representatives, has this project received? I just read a comment on Facebook today by someone from Teller who wrote, he, meaning Senator Olson, says he's heard only good things, but I don't think he's actually heard from us. Just remember, when there is resistance, that the Trans-Alaska Pipeline only became this world-class successful project it did because the resistance caused them to build a significantly better project than originally proposed. But my next concern is that when the state invests money in the development of a project for a corporation, it casts reasonable doubt on the state's neutrality as a regulatory enforcer. And when a corporation is not spending their own money to provide the infrastructure and development of their project, it can cause a company to overestimate their capabilities. The Rock Creek Mine is an example. The state invested approximately $7 or $8 million building a road to the mine site, and I still don't know who paid for the 3 miles of power lines, but the company overstated and oversold their abilities, and the mine failed. There is now a three-mile road to nowhere, and 3 miles of collapsing power poles. But perhaps my biggest concern, the state is being asked to post up to $80 million to support the infrastructure and development of this mine, while Nome and the impacted communities are suffering from a severe lack of housing and a high cost of living. Teller doesn't even have sewer and water to their homes. The development project will only add more pressure on the already limited housing, causing already sky-high prices to rise higher. There are currently over 50 families in Nome on the wait list for HFC's 33 units and long wait lists at the Regional Housing Authority rental units in Nome. HUD recently estimated a need for over 1,000 more housing units in the Bering Strait region, including the Teller and Brevik, and yet the Housing Authority's budget is so small that they can only afford to build 6 a year. In Nome, people in the service industry make $12 to $17 an hour, and yet are confronted with a two-bedroom apartment costing $1,600 to $1,800 a month plus utilities. Already people are spending up to 75% or more of their income on rent. Families are doubled and tripled up just to get by. This is true in Teller as well. So I feel very strongly that if the state wants to invest in infrastructure and development in rural Alaska for large corporations, you first have to invest in affordable housing and infrastructure for the people who already live here so that they are not further impacted by the influx of additional workers.
Sue?
Therefore, if you pursue this bond proposal, I propose that 25% of the bond amount be dedicated to addressing the existing housing and infrastructure needs in the communities most impacted by the development of this mine. There is always the promise of jobs, and while jobs are needed, we all know that the highest paying go to the people moving into the region, and that too often the cost of development puts the greatest pressure on the lowest earners. Sure, I'll be able to sell my house for more, but I worry for those trying to support their families on $12 to $18 an hour who won't be working at the mine and who may find rent soaring to over $2,000 a month. These are the same people who were hurt the most by cutting the PFD in half. So if the state decides it wants to invest up to $80 million to support a corporation, it should also be tied to the passage of an income tax to help pay for it.
Sue, are you finished?
Restoration of the full PFD to relieve the pressure it will put on those least able to benefit from the changes it will bring. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, for somebody that says they got trouble being prepared, you did a pretty darn good job there in short order, so thank you.
Well, I like I say, with more time, I could be more concise.
Well, that's good. We hit all the marks. Thank you. All right. Blake Bogart in Nome. Blake, try to keep it to 2 minutes, please, because we got a bunch of people here.
Mine's short. Hi, my name is Blake Bogart. I'm here for myself. I am in support of this bond proposal for the graphite deposit. Some of the benefits I see in my eyes are that it's a great opportunity for this region and the state, really, both directly and indirectly, whether it's jobs or economic growth. Could lead to America's first domestic supply of graphite and the very first supply of graphite coming from a rigorous permitting process. It also can lead Bering Strait region. The Bering Strait region could lead the way to producing a mineral for an industry that is up and coming, aka the battery industry, which is I think is going to be very big in the future. And that's all I got. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We're going to go stay in Nome for one more, then we're going to go back to Washington, D.C., Brevig Mission, and Teller, then we'll come back to Nome. So we got one more in Nome right at the moment. Doug Tweet. Doug, you're up. 2 minutes, please.
Hi. Okay. Thanks. My name is Doug Tweet, and thanks for the opportunity to make these comments. And I want to say a special thank you to Senator Olson for introducing this bill. I think it's a real good idea. Full disclosure, I am an owner in the claims that Graphite Creek is leasing from us. I'm a third generation, that's all the owners of the Tweet family. These claims were staked in 1900 by Grandpa. So this mine is going to be locally owned. It's from a local family. I grew up third generation in Teller. Dad, my uncles were born there. We know the country. It's our home, and we love it. We wouldn't allow any degradation of the environment. We love it up here. We are in the process of, these are federal mining claims, so the state wouldn't get any benefit from them, but we are in the process right now of converting them to state claims. So the state will get substantial royalties. This is really a world-class mine. It's proper graphite. It's very rare. It's flake, large flake, and actually very large flake. So it'd be a huge benefit to the local economy. It'd be high wages. It'd provide a tax base. There really isn't anything up here, as Donnie knows. We have, as claim owners, we've worked with Graphite One for 7 years now, and they are really a good company. They've been very good to work with. I know they're committed to local hire as much as possible, and they want to keep local communities involved in the mine plan and mine development, too. I know they'd be just good partners and a good company in here. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right, very good. Thank you for your comments. We're going to go to Washington, D.C., Richard Benneville, mayor of Nome. Richard?
Yes. Richard Benneville, I'm the mayor of Nome, and I really appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of this bill. And thank you, Senator Olson, for bringing it to the attention of the legislature. And my comments will be quick, because I know every person that has testified so far, and to a degree, I'm in agreement with all of them. Certainly when we do big projects like this out in the bush, there are the local people to be involved and to be considered and to be listened to from a subsistence point of view, as well as, and interestingly, as Mr. Steinmeier just talked about housing. The jobs goes without saying, no matter whether it's in Brevik or if it's in Teller or if it's in Nome, the jobs are critical to our region. We are, you know, Western Alaska has some of the greatest energy costs going in the country. And we are, you know, in the process of trying to develop Western Alaska to a point where we can be a lot more self-sustaining and help the economy of the state and in the resource like the graphite to help the nation. I'm also told the same graphite is being used in the experiment, and you're dealing with long-term batteries, for batteries to store wind farm energy or solar energy. So all of these lead in the direction in which our country is going, and how marvelous to be able to be somewhat more self-sufficient than we are in, say, other industries. My comments are that as a mayor of Nome, I am for this. I can't speak for everybody in Nome, but I can speak for the spirit of Nome. I can speak for the spirit of Western Alaska. I repeat again, appreciate the opportunity to testify now. I'm looking forward to going back home and seeing the Iditarod mushers come in next week. And bless you all, and thank you so much for your hard work. And shout out to Senator Stedman.
All right. He's beaming from ear to ear. Thank you. All right. Next, we're going to go to, I just love this iPad here. We just go all over Alaska. We're going to go back to Teller, and we're going to talk to John Topcock, Igloo Native Corporation. John, are you there?
Yes, this is John Topcock with Mayor's Igloo Native Corporation, and the people before me that spoke, like Brandon, Bostwick, and Sue, touched upon stuff I wanted to bring up about the subsistence, and they're right about the housing and stuff about us guys not having housing up here in Teller, and also about what Brandon spoke about our subsistence way. And he mentioned that there's red salmon that go up there every year, but that, like he said, there's different kind of fish we eat and rely on, which are the tomcod, herring, smelts. They all inhabit the Muggle Basin, which should be looked into pretty closely because they do spawn in that area. And with that, that's pretty much... And also, I wanted to testify that around that graphite mine area is where we catch moose. Sure, you have to walk up a couple miles up to go where nobody else goes. And it is prime hunting land. Keep that in mind. And like they said, got to keep an eye out on keeping eye out for any way that's going to affect Muggle Basin, which should be protected in the Muggle Basin watershed, and that is being worked on, a watershed part, but they got to keep in mind about the subsistence part. And yeah, we need to keep, wouldn't mind keeping it safe. That's about it.
All right, John, thank you for your comments, and I appreciate it. Next, we're going to go to Mary Pfeiffer in Brevig Mission. Mary? Mary Pfeiffer.
Mary is not here. She's not here with us. Can you hear me?
Very good. We're looking for Mary Pfeiffer so she can testify. She signed up to testify.
Mary Pfeiffer is not here. I see her. She was going home on a four-wheeler. She just told us. I'll speak for the on behalf of the community. This is Rita Olana of Brevig Mission Native Corporation. At first, we were hesitant to support this. I don't know, because the place where they're going to mine is our camping grounds or for hunting moose, and the streams from the Kikilok Mountains are the waters that, you know, we use for drinking, but there's a lot of fish in those streams that spawn to, like, whitefish, like, any kind of fish you can name, humpies. It's a very picking place for us. I don't know how they will keep the area clean if they're going to contaminate it with their mining stuff. But maybe some other person can put in what I missed. But this was a very important place for us to camp, pick berries, hunt everything, fish. Maybe somebody else will talk in place of Mary too.
Okay, well, thank you for your comments. And now we're going to go to Teller. And we're going to talk to Tanya. Tanya, are you there?
Hi.
Could you put your name on the record, please, Tanya, and full name? And we're trying to hold the testimony to 2 minutes, please.
My name is Tanya Abuwalik, and I'm a lifelong resident of Teller. I also serve as secretary for the Native Village of Teller Tribal Council, and I'm tribal coordinator for the Mary Ziegler Tribe. I'm speaking against Senate Bill 203 because this bill will affect myself, my family, my community, and many other people who rely heavily on our subsistence resources. Windy Cove and Graphite Creek have provided us with fish, moose, seals, migratory birds and their eggs, greens and berries for generations, and we hope it can continue. Our land is our food, culture, clothes, water. We cannot risk these things for the sake of business. We cannot live off the turkeys Graphite One resources distribute once a year. If there is a spill or leakage, it'll drain directly into the Immokalee Basin, into our drinking water supply, into the Dokship Channel in Grantley Harbor, where we get all our salmon, pike, trout, pipefish, smelts, onto the seals that we harvest, and into the animals that drink the water. We have been told that the limestone will neutralize these chemicals, but for how long? Who will bear the burden if there is a spill? Will the state keep our freezers full in the event of a spill? If one of these resources collapses, the rest will follow. We have been taught by our fathers and forefathers who have been there for thousands of years how to live and survive off our land. We were taught to share what we catch, what will happen when we have nothing to share because of the contaminants and noise interruption this mine will bring. We did not know the word subsistence. All we knew was our way of life. The culture and land and resources are the subsistence way of life. Graphite One has said they will start a subsistence board for us to keep a close watch on the activities going on. We have yet to see this. I have been elected by my council to represent us on this board. So far, this has only been imaginary. According to the EPA Toxic Release Inventory, Kotzebue is the most toxic community in America because of the Red Dog Mine. This mine will not bring jobs. This mine will not bring economic development. In my eyes, this mine will bring destruction to our land, to our culture, to our food, and to our people. When making decisions that will directly impact us and our culture, please remember to allow us the opportunity to voice our concerns and let us decide our future. Kuyana.
Thank you, Tony, for those comments.
I'm also from Denver.
Pardon?
And I didn't get to call in from our city office. It was busy and cutting me off. But I am Blanche Akbiat-Garney, the mayor of Teller, and also on the Tribal Council of Teller.
Fire away, ma'am. You got 2 minutes. Madam Mayor, you got 2 minutes.
I oppose this bill, although I am not for or against the mine. I do not want to see a road built up to our wilderness campsites. We see here in Teller what the road has done to our community. There are times when it feels like a blessing, but it really brings dust, trash, and it ruins our subsistence, and it invites anybody from out of state or other parts of the state to hunt and do subsistence in our area that we depend on. This is where we don't have jobs. This is where we have to subsist to survive. And if the state wants to find $80 million, why not put it toward toilets, water and sewer for our community. I have to squat at work. I cannot sit down to make a bowel movement or urinate. I have to squat like a dog over a bucket that the public uses, not like a human being. $80 million could go to better use. We don't need it for a road. We don't need port infrastructure. I'm not against the mine, and I'm not for the mine, but I am against this bill.
Thank you for your comments. We're going to go to Brevig Mission and Frida South Hall, then we're going to go back to Nome. So, Frida, Brevig Mission. Are you there?
Hi, this is Frida Southall, and I'm calling on behalf of the Native Village of Brevig Mission. And like the lady from Teller, we are opposing of the Senate Bill 203 on behalf of the Native Village of Brevig Mission. We are opposing this bill and the Graphite Creek Mine because this is going to affect our subsistence lifestyle. Most people in our village, because there are no jobs to live off of working and being able to provide, most people in our community live a subsistence lifestyle, whether they go up the river to where the location of the mine would be, they go up there to pick berries, they pick greens, we gather fish up there, moose hunting. This mine would affect each family member that uses and lives off of the land. It will, yes, it would create jobs for the community and people that would come in and work, but it's going to destroy our subsistence grounds. Whether you guys think or believe that it's going to be clean and it won't be contaminated or what have you, this is going to affect each person that lives off of this land up there. So we are hoping that this bill will not go forward. That way we can continue living off of our lifestyle because, yes, it would bring jobs. It would be a boost of economy. But once it's done and it's already been destroyed, what are our people going to do to make sure they are fed for each winter and so forth? This is going to really, truly impact our future generations to come that, mind you, this hunting and this subsistence gathering in this area has been done for years upon years, and this mine is going to take that away. So we are opposing of the Senate Bill 203 for the graphite mine. Please take that into consideration when you guys go forward with this. Thank you.
Thank you, Frida, for your comments. We're going to go back to Nome. Hal Shepard. Hal, are you there?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Hal Shepard. I'm a consultant, and I have been working with the Native Villages of Brevig, Teller, and Mirazuglu Tribal Councils, and also the village corporations and cities for about the last 4 years in studying and following the graphite mine proposal. And I just want to reiterate the comments that have been made by those in opposition or having concerns about subsistence. In every meeting I've had with the tribal councils in those villages, pretty much as you can tell by the testimony today, there is pretty much unanimous opposition to this mine going in. One of the main problems is that hasn't been mentioned yet is the use of water by the mine. The Department of Natural Resources routinely issues what are called temporary water use authorizations to Graphite One or to the mining company that are proposing this mine every year. And they just recently issued another one for another 5 years, which is going to allow this mine to take water out of 6 creeks that drain the Kugliakik Mountains that are indeed contain fish habitat, including salmon habitat. The Graphite One reports that claim that There are no salmon using these creeks are inaccurate. And they, DNR has allowed them, or is currently allowing them to remove as much as over 65 gallons per day, from these creeks, from these various creeks. And this is from a period from about June through October. So starting this, this summer, if Graphite One starts to, exploration up in that area, they will begin, they're allowed by DNR to remove, up to that amount of water from these creeks. And, I've seen these creeks. I've been up there a number of times. They're quite small. There is no doubt that the removal of that amount of water will affect them and also the critical salmon habitat, in those creeks, as everywhere else in the Arctic, which is warming faster than, at a faster rate than anywhere on Earth. Temperatures are rising, are going to start rising in those creeks, and it's going to start affecting the fish habitat, especially if the flows are being reduced from them. So I want to reiterate my testimony in opposition to this proposal, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Hal, for those comments. Next, we're going to go to Hattie Keller in Nome, and then we're going to drop down to Anchorage. So, Hattie Keller in Nome, are you there?
Yes.
Could you
My name is Hattie Keller.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, so my name is Hattie Keller, and I'm calling on behalf of myself opposing Senate Bill 203. This bill will subsequently affect our subsistence way of life. As you heard before, Imrock Basin is where Teller and Brevik Mission locals fish and hunt and have done so for thousands of years. What hasn't been mentioned yet was Imrock Basin is connected to the Cusatrine River, where, along with the Pilgrim River, where Nome locals fish for their year-long supply, including myself, and that feeds my household, our parents' household, and my grandparents' household. Community members in Teller and Brevik can't just drive to Hanson Safeway or AC every day to purchase food like we can here in Nome. It's expensive cost of living, and they depend on their subsistence way of life. The food stocked in their stores is most likely lacking nutritional value with a long shelf life. And stores aren't always stocked all the time, too, due to storm weathers or if planes can land. These communities' lives are hard enough as it is. How will Graphite One Resources Company stimulate the economy in Teller? Last winter, Teller was running out of fuel, and their washeteria was down for a time period. Is Graphite One Resources going to help with their structural upgrade needs, such as ensuring Teller community has fuel and water? Recently, the National Geographic released an article regarding the harmful effects of the Red Dog Mine affecting Kotzebue and Kivalina. Are we going to ignore these health risks or health risk effects because Teller and Brevik have such small populations? Imrock Basin and Cusatrine River are connected, so it would affect Nome locals as well. A news article in Nome Nugget says, this mine can make $616 million, but it would cost $363 million to get it started. It will have a water plant, sewage treatment facility, and house 269 workers. Of those positions, they don't know how many in the region are qualified for those positions. Where will the monetary profits go? To the Graphite One Resources Canadian company based out of Vancouver, Canada, or to the non-local workers' families in their home states? Why is this mine that may or may not work receiving sewage treatment and running water before the rest of the villages in our region? When was our last time our political leaders dumped an actual honey bucket? Went to the washateria to shower? Visiting a village and living and raising your children in third world conditions is two different things. What will it take to ensure our region's needs are actually met with food security, so safe subsistence lifestyles and water and sewer needs are met? Since we are talking about a mine receiving better treatment than our village communities who are forced to settle in an area by the government, if they didn't settle, they would have their children taken away and sent to schools. And just on a last note, it's a Canadian company, like I said, they'll hire, which we've seen before, the hire out of town or out of the region employees and a few local token employees. There's no income tax, so all the money earned would go out of the region or state or country, wherever those employees were from. DNR has said before that they won't or can't regulate it closely, and their companies will be receiving tax breaks. We've seen this time and time again in our region. As you mentioned, the mine down Glacier Creek Road didn't turn out well. and all the land that's torn up and will never be the same. We've been too quiet, too long, for letting things go because we feel like it will happen. So we need to have this change and not let this go through. Things have been empty or overpromised for too long, and our land and our people's lives will be changed forever if this subsequently goes through. So I oppose Senate Bill 203. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your comments. We're going to go to Anchorage, and we're going to tee up Mr. Ron Sheridan, if I'm pronouncing that right. If I've made a mistake, you'll correct me on the record. 2 minutes, please, sir. Not online. Okay. How about Rachel Mendeluk in Anchorage? Is she there, Ben? Rachel, could you put your name on the record in 2 minutes, please?
My name is Rachel Mendeluk. I'm currently living in Anchorage. I grew up in Keller and Brevik, and I don't think this mine is a good idea, all because there's too much wildlife and too much subsistence we need. We need to survive. We cannot go to the grocery stores every day. We can't go to, you know, pick strawberries. We can't do that. That's all we have. There's more important things in the world than just trying to get a dollar off of, you know, our few acres of land we have left, what we call subsistence. We do all our gathering, fishing, berries. Every season has its own bounty for us, and if that does not continue, we can't read about it, we can't upgrade our app for berries or fishing. We have to go and teach everybody, whoever wants to learn, that it's important land and we have to gather what we can before winter. Families rely on it more than ever because the food in Teller and in Brevik and a lot of places are too expensive. The land there was here before 1940s of the ATG days, before the 1900s of the gold rush, 1800s also. It was all we were taught by our forefathers. If we lose that, it's just going to be another notch in your history that something fell. Contaminations ruins our livelihood, it does. And we can't, once it gets bad, we can't go back and fix it in a weekend. And that's all I want to say.
Thank you very much for your comments. We're going to go to Ada now. We're going to go back to Anchorage. John Springsteen, did you want to testify?
Yeah, for the record, my name is John Springsteen with the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, also known as Ada. ADA finances the development of commercial and industrial assets and infrastructure for Alaska's earning industries, including oil and gas, mining, and tourism. I do have just one comment that with the addition of a sunset date of June 30, 2025, ADA supports this bill.
Thank you for your comments. We're going to go to Doug Smith, Graphite One Resources. Doug, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thank you. I would just comment that we appreciate everybody's comments from the community. We support this bill. It would allow us. We are very early in the stage of the development of this project. We have to go through the full amount of environmental studies and mine planning studies and meet with the community in doing that. In doing so, we have committed with all of the communities to sit down with them and go through these studies as we progress. So I'd like everybody to keep that in mind. As we move along with this, they'll have ample opportunity to see what the plans are, and there's ample opportunity through the approval process to have further input into the decision-making on this project. Thanks very much.
All right, thank you. That's it for testifiers here today. I think we've got them, covered them all there. Mr. Manley, is that right? Okay, any other questions? I'm going to close public testimony. Senator Gardner.
Thank you. And this has been very interesting to me. My first question was, who owns Graphite One and who owns the land where the mine would be located? And I was doing a little exploration. The iPads, as the chair said, are very, very useful. And I'm looking at financials for Graphite One Resources, and I don't know a lot about reading these income statements and balance sheets and cash flows. But the income statement for the period 2012 to 2016 is all zeros. The expenses are on an upward trajectory. The pre-tax income is all in bright red, negative numbers. The balance sheet has a lot of zeros and some red. The cash flow statement is almost all reds and just growing reds. So, you know, if I were making a decision about investing a lot of money for this company, I barely understand what I'm looking at here, but I think there'd be some concerns. I don't know if there's a spill or something, or, you know, that this particular company has the resources to follow through and be solvent. I mean, I hope that's a question that Ada would look at in great detail. And that's, you know, not even considering the concerns of the local people there. But, you know, even if it is a good project and the local people will support it after a lot of work is done by the people, I'm not sure this is the right partner for the state of Alaska. I have questions about that.
Thank you, Senator Gardner. I have no intention of moving the bill today. And Senator Olson, did you want to comment, sir?
Mr. Chairman, do you want me to answer some of the questions as far as I know?
The floor is yours.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The issues that were brought up by those that testified certainly gives pause to go ahead and look at what's going to be happening with the project. Certainly the balance sheet is something that is very concerning as far as what's the ability of a corporation like this to go ahead and make sure that the land is held harmless. But as far as who owns the property, it's federal. It was federally patented back in 1900 by Doug Tweet's grandfather, who was mined up in that area as well as mined up in the Cougar Rock. And so they have the ground there, and Graphite One would be leasing it from them. Mm-hmm. But it's federally patented ground that he's in the process of transferring the royalties going to the state.
Thank you.
Seeing no other comments from committee members, we're going to hold this bill over. On Thursday, it's my intention to bring back HB7 before the committee. That's Representative Christ Tompkins' bill relating to ballots, and which we heard last March. And having no further business on our agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to have some closing comments, if I could.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a senator from this district, I certainly want to make sure that the project that consults the communities that are out there, and if there is not certainly support from them, then my recommendation is that we not go ahead with the project. But this bill is not for that. Not for that. And so as we look at what has happened, and there certainly needs to be some buy-in from the communities before we go ahead, and that's certainly, as a person that comes from a small village of Golovin, if there was something going on in my backyard, I would certainly want to have have input on what's being said there. And so with that, I appreciate you hearing the bill, and we will get our homework done.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Seeing no other comments from committee members, we are adjourned at 4:35.